want us to be looking at this. He doesn't want it to be brought up. So naturally, it's going to be brought up today. See, when you tell someone not to do it, not to talk about it, not to look into it, well, then they're good. He wants to look at the whole body of work, and I think that's fair. So we'll go ahead and do that. 319-366-1600, that is the Hertin & Stocker text line. You can use it to reach out to us. Hertin & Stocker Jewelers, located at 101 South Dubuque Street in Iowa City. The Dickens family, in business there for over 70 years. Iowa will host Northwestern Sunday night, the final regular season game of the year. And then it's off to New York City for the Big Ten tournament. There's news on that front as well, because Jim Delaney, the Big Ten commissioner, told Teddy Greenstein of the Chicago Tribune, we may have made a mistake here. This is not going the way... Wait, we all saw this coming. Everybody saw this coming.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about it last year when they held the conference tournament in Washington, D.C., and the attendance was just shy of abysmal.
And nobody that lived in Washington, D.C. had any idea a basketball tournament was taking place.
And then this year, to accommodate the Big Ten at Madison Square Garden, because the Big East has its conference tournament there, the Big Ten moved its tournament back to this coming week. And because of that, they had to move a couple Big Ten basketball games into early December. And Jim Delaney pretty much says, look, the feedback that I've received from the coaches, from the fans, this was probably a big mistake. Now, he did not rule out the conference tournament returning to Madison Square Garden in New York City, but he did say if it were to ever return to Madison Square Garden, they would play it the week that they traditionally do, which is a problem because I don't foresee the Big East moving its conference tournament. So it's Jim Delaney sort of paying lip service to the situation. I think this is going to be the ultimate one and done. Speaking of one and dones and the college improper benefits investigation, this will be a one and done at Madison Square Garden. The Hawkeyes squarely playing next Wednesday. What do you folks think? Is it fair to question Fran McCaffrey's job performance and job security? 319-366-1600. That's what Scott Dochterman from the Land of Ten did at Fran's press conference today, a couple hours ago in Iowa City. And again, as you heard Fran there at the beginning of the show, he wasn't happy about it. So he wants to look at the body of work. And here's the body of work. And we all know, if you're unaware, Fran McCaffrey is under contract through the end of time because of Iowa's proclivity for giving everybody a contract extension. Fran got one the day after they lost to Virginia Tech, and things have sort of circled the drain ever since with this season. But this will be the first year. He's been the head coach at Iowa now for 8 seasons. This is season number 8 for Fran McCaffrey. It's only the second time that Iowa has missed out on going to the postseason. The very first time was 2011, his first year as head coach of the Hawkeyes. And many people will recall the state of the program when he took it over after Todd Licklider was fired following the 2010 season. Iowa was 11-20 and 4-14 in the Big Ten. They finished in 10th place. The next 2 seasons, Iowa wound up going to the NIT both years, finished with an overall record in 2012 of 18-17. And in 2013, they made that tremendous run all the way to the finals of the NIT, lost to Baylor. They finished 25-13 that season when you factor in all of the wins they picked up along the way in the postseason. 2014, they get back to the NCAA tournament, finished at 20-13. That was when they had to go to Dayton. It was an unfortunate set of circumstances because Fran McCaffrey also was dealing with his son's illness, and just it was bad timing all around. 20-13, they were 9-9, finished tied for 6th in the Big Ten, which was the exact same record they had in 2013. So up to this point, they'd finished 10th, 7th, 6th, and 6th in the Big Ten. And then you get to a period in 2015 where you take a big leap forward. They go 22 and 12, but they were 12-6 in the Big Ten. They were tied for third. Get back to the NCAA tournament. 2016, tied for third again, 22-11. Get back to the NCAA tournament. Lose to eventual national champion Villanova. Last season, a little bit of a step backwards, 19-15. They go to the NIT. They're a win away again from going to Madison Square Garden and the NIT Final Four. TCU beat the Hawkeyes at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. They finished 10-8, tied for fifth in the Big Ten. And then this year is what it's been. They're 3-14 at the moment.
Yes.
In Big Ten play, in last place, as Scott diplomatically pointed out to Fran McCaffrey. Was not a fan of that being pointed out to him. I think everybody knows the case. So when you look at it, 8 seasons, 3 NCAA tournament appearances, 3 NITs, we're looking at the whole body of work here.
Yeah, we are. And it's good up until this season, but not good enough to where a 3-14 or 4-14 conference season won't put you squarely back in the discussion. Not necessarily on the hot seat, but the fact that we can't even have this discussion, I don't buy that. I don't buy that. This season has been, as a lot of people put it, the worst, wins and losses wise, worse than any Todd Licklider Big Ten regular season. So what he has done up to this point, yes, he has put together a pretty solid win-loss record. But if you pair the fact that this team's never been great defensively, and that's the biggest bugaboo of this team right now, and they could finish the season 3-15 in the Big Ten, I fail to see the logic in it not being brought up at all.
And again, you want to look at the entire body of work, and that's fine. In 2014, they lost 5 of 7 down the stretch, their final five of seven final regular season games. Then they went to the Big Ten tournament, and everybody should recall they laid a massive egg to Northwestern, and that was when they went off to Dayton and got dispatched by Tennessee in the opening round game, 78-65. That was 2014. 2 years later, they did the exact same thing. Their final 7 Big Ten games, they dropped 5 of them. They go to the Big Ten tournament. It was Illinois that embarrassed them. And then they did get to the NCAA tournament. They had that win. They squeaked it out over Temple. Remember who the hero of that game was?
Adam Woodbury.
The much maligned Adam Woodbury. He had the putback. They win 72-70, and then they lose to Villanova, 87-68, the eventual national champion. So, body of work, you look at it and you go, okay, it's good. It's not, you can't question my performance.
It's not
good.
Impervious to criticism.
It's not great.
No.
It's not to the level where you should get indignant about people questioning the body of work, right? 319-366-1600.
Now, I know it's kind of apples to oranges in this case, because the expectations at Ohio State are much higher than they are at Iowa as far as the basketball program is concerned, or really any athletic program is concerned. But look at Thad Matta last year. 2 bad seasons in a row, and he was forced out. After taking that team to a national championship, after being the winningest coach in the history of that program, he was forced out. So I don't think really anybody is safe. We talk about this being a what have you done for me recently, what are you doing for me now, what have you done for me recently type business. That's exactly what it is, and that's what you sign up for if you're a Division I head coach.
Again, it's a good body of work, but it's not great to the point where you need to be lecturing people on not questioning it. I think it's fair. And I think it's also fair to go back and point to the contract extension and the massive buyout and ask, how did we get here? And why are we here? And what are the ramifications of everything involved with this? Because one way or the other, you either turn it around next season, and what are the expectations for success next year? Every fan is going to look at it differently. Some are going to say get back to the postseason. Some are going to say Iowa needs to get to the NCAA tournament. It's just the possibilities, when you look at all of them, many of them are not pleasant at this point. 319-366-1600. Let's head down to Iowa City and bring Craig on. He's going to be our first caller tonight. Craig, you've got some thoughts. Go ahead.
Well, I agree with everything you've said so far. There has to be a better coach out there. Why would we give such a huge extension? And if he gets a renewed contract with a raise and a huge extension, why can't he answer some tough questions? And that's all I have to say about that. And then the Big Ten tournament is kind of a joke. And I've been told that some of the women's Big Ten tournament games are not going to be televised until the semifinals because of the men's. Well, Iowa's women's team is so much more exciting than the men's teams. I'd certainly like to watch them on TV first.
That is a good point there, and one that has kind of gotten lost in the shuffle. We appreciate the phone call because the tournaments are going on sort of simultaneously there. A lot of those early round games, especially for the women, are going to be pushed to streaming online on BTN, the BTN Online, or whatever they call the streaming product. And that all falls back on Jim Delaney. And it was his decision, and they wanted to get into New York City, and they wanted to get into Madison Square Garden, and they needed to capitulate on all these fronts in order to do it. And here you go. It's another perfect case of hindsight being 2020. They're never going back to Madison Square Garden for the tournament again. This is a one and done. They tried to make their point. I'll be very curious to see what the attendance looks like, especially Wednesday night for the Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday night, the first two games.
You don't think Rutgers and Iowa, that matchup will draw a lot of people?
I don't think people are probably making their way from New Jersey to downtown New York City for that matchup as much as people would like to think. The phone lines are just lighting up, but let's go to Bob in Cedar Rapids. Bob wants to talk Hawkeye hoops. What's up?
Yeah, so I have a question on in regards to Gary Barta ever having the courage to fire Fran. That would be his third basketball coach that he would hire. Who would get that opportunity, and it isn't his career death choice to fire Fran?
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, this is the contract extensions for, and again, I have a difficult time talking about Gary Barta in any sort of negative light because he's dealing with the recovery from prostate cancer, and I find him to be a good man, and I like him personally, but his job is to be the director of athletics at Iowa, and his job is tied to, largely, two men, Kirk Ferentz and Fran McCaffrey. And he's given both men very lucrative, very, I think, coach-favorable deals. And, yeah, ADs are tied to their football coaches and men's basketball coaches. And I don't think this necessarily would end well for him if Iowa struggles again next year. And then who would make that hire? Well, then we've added another entire layer of garbage to Mount Trashmore to go completely local here.
319, maybe then we could ski on it.
366-1600. Jeff in Williamsburg wants to talk Hawks. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, yeah, I agree with what you said, but, you know, you got to look at, you know, you talked about Barger on a personal level since you know him. We're all talking on a business level. And everyone comes out and they always question the coach, well, do you think you deserve the contract extension? Well, it wasn't McCaffrey that came and said, I want an extension or I'm gone. It was Barger that did it. And these ADs across the country need to quit giving out these big contracts to these coaches because the buyout's so huge. You know, and they do that, you know, like take Shaka Smart. Yeah, the guy proved himself, you know, for 4 years down at VCU. So he earned his contract. But some of these coaches, they have one great season, make it so far into the tournament, and then they, oh, well, we're going to give you a big contract. We're going to, you know. So it's the ADs and the presidents of these universities that approve this stuff, and then they dig themselves a big hole. And I'm just, you know, and that's all across the country. And they're just fed up with reporters and people. And I was also a high school coach, and you saw what happened in Cedar Rapids. The parents need to back off, the fans to back off, with the coaches to do the job, and learn to accept ups and downs, peaks and valleys. It happens in every school and every sport.
It does, Jeff. Great observation. The difference there is in college athletics, it's a multi-million dollar business, and the peaks and the valleys really stand out at that point. But I, for the record, and I want to be very clear about this, I think it is extremely fair of people to be critical of Gary Barta and the job
absolutely.
He's done as Iowa's athletic director. And I'll tell you this, and I'll say that. And so what I'm saying here is, I feel bad about having to talk about Gary because of the circumstances, but how you survive the Jane Meyer settlement, that was beyond me. And again, I like the guy, but most places around the country, the AD does not come out on the other side of the ditch, to paraphrase a rather famous quote from country music artist Johnny Paycheck. 319-366-1600. I want to get to Brian in Cedar Rapids. He is a fan of Fran McCaffrey, but with a caveat, I believe, is what Kyle has let us know. So, Brian, what do you want to say?
Yeah, thanks. Well, I think you guys have done a great job, you know, the last couple of years, and as well as, like, the Gazette Register of documenting a lot of the things that I would just add here. I think McCaffrey can be credited, deservedly so, with resurrecting a basketball program that not only was no good, but that was not watchable. And, you know, he's had seven respectable years prior to this year, and for that he deserves the eighth year, and I think he deserves the ninth year. But, you know, let's be honest about it. I don't know him at all personally. I've never talked to him face-to-face. But watching him on the basketball court, he's not exactly the most calm, docile kind of person. So if he gets a little upset at a press conference because a local reporter takes him to task, I don't think that would surprise any of us, right? So I can see McCaffrey being upset that somebody would question his coaching or the success of the program. I agree with the comments about Gary Barta. I think Iowa fans have maybe more right to be concerned with the decisions of Gary Barta than they do necessarily with the performance of Fran McCaffrey or Kirk Ferentz, you know, depending on what season of the year we're talking about here. But I would say this about Fran as a negative. This team is his team. These recruits are his recruits. These assistant coaches are his assistant coaches. There's no turnover really in the program except for Williams, who left last year. So there's like no excuses with this group. These are his guys and his coaches. And to be 3-15 by year end is, that's just bad, and there's no other way to put it. And hope next year's better. I think if the football team and the basketball team both had losing records in the same year, Barta would be gone in a heartbeat. Unless that happens, he probably keeps his job.
Appreciate the phone call, Brian. The one thing no one is taking into account, I did mention it last night on the show, Bruce Harreld, the president at the University of Iowa, he appears to be a big fan of Gary Barta. Yep. He likes Gary Barta. So when the president's got your back, you get a little bit longer.
Certainly helps.
Boy, this is exactly what we need when the show is really busy and jam-packed and we've already cut 15 minutes off the end to miss a stop set there and to blow right into a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. But that's exactly what we're going to do. We'll get caught up somewhere along the line. Kyle is with us in the studio, Midwest One, where you're the one.
Rick Heller and the Hawkeye baseball team beat Virginia Tech today in walk-off fashion at the Sugar Bowl Baseball Classic. Ben Norman hit one to third in the top of the 10th. It was booted, and Case Master scored from second to give Iowa its first 4-0 start to a season since 2006. Fran McCaffrey spoke with the media today in Iowa City, and when asked if he felt he's on the proverbial hot seat, he pointed to his body of work as a whole and said the subject shouldn't even be brought up. Just a reminder, McCaffrey also recently signed an extension with a massive buyout. You might have heard about a bombshell report from Yahoo naming names and schools involved in the FBI probe into corruption in college basketball, and among the names that appeared was former Iowa State point guard Monte Morris. His mother confirmed that he and his trainer had a breakfast with Christian Dawkins, who's a former employee of ASM Sports. That firm is in the middle of the investigation, and Dawkins, in fact, was arrested last year, but Morris's mother denies that anything impermissible came of the meeting. We're going to be off the air at 6:45 today for a couple juicy boys sub-state semifinal games. Kennedy is going to be at Prairie on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, and Cedar Rapids, Washington will be at top-ranked Iowa City West on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, or 107.5 FM, the North Gym. Looking ahead to the weekend, the regular season is wrapping up for all the major universities, and you can hear UNI hosting Missouri State in its finale tomorrow at 12:30 on those North and South Gym FM frequencies. And then at 4, you can hear Iowa State on the road at number 21 West Virginia on the main gym.
We got plenty to get to. Well, during the timeout here, I'm going to sort through the texts on the Hertin and Stocker text line because there were few of them, and then there were a lot of them. And many of them, not surprisingly, are saying when you get paid millions of dollars, you can respectfully answer a question about your job performance. And I completely
agree with that.
I'm in that camp too. Now, you can also sit back and say, here we go again with Iowa fans pointing to money, because with Kirk Ferentz, it's always about the money. And now here we are again with the money and the contract. But from that standpoint, I'm in that boat.
That's again, a question that almost, in my training of journalism, that's a question that almost has to be asked at this point.
72-37, as a fan, I'd rather see a team win 66% of the games than go into the tournament on a run and then win 75% of their games and lay massive eggs come tournament time. Speaking of massive eggs, I was at the store earlier today, and this is killing me because of the trying to eat better and giving up all of the sweets and the candy. Cadbury eggs.
Oh,
I saw my first
weakness.
Cadbury egg. That is my weakness. That is my kryptonite. That is my opening round Big Ten basketball game, if we want to keep with the Fran McCaffreyisms here. I had them in my hand. I picked them up, rolled it over, stared at the nutritional information on the back, and put the Cadbury egg down.
Good for you. I mean, you can have one every once in a while. It won't hurt you.
No.
That's not what Kyle Schwarber would say.
No. Schwarber looks great, by the way. Baseball is back, and for those of you wondering at the beginning of the intro, that was former Tigers play-by-play broadcaster Ernie Harwell reciting a poem that he would recite every year on the first day of spring training games, and that is today, Minnesota Twins fans. Twins fall to the Red Sox 4-3. Twins baseball on KGYM all summer long, 107.5 FM, 4:33. We have a packed show. Again, that $30 gift card to La Cantina is going to be yours before 6:45 tonight. We'll talk with Rough Riders coach Mark Carlson, but Kyle Boone of CBS Sports will chat with us about the latest developments in the game of college basketball when we return after this.
For all those times you wish you would have known.
Hey, nice look, Kevin. Your shirt's on inside out.
Yeah, that coupon expired a week ago.
Of course it did.
But, Dad, school pictures are today.
All right, back upstairs then.
Sorry, we closed at 4.
Really? Come on.
In a world fraught with fraud,
DuPaco Community Credit Union is on a mission to protect your identity, your credit, and your financial position. That's why we offer simple, effective tools for helping you to stay in the know about your account activity, credit score, and more. And they're absolutely free for all DuPaco members.
So, now I know.
Access your credit monitoring tools anytime through DuPaco's online banking or app. Not a DuPaco member? Join today in branch or online at DuPaco.com. Equal housing opportunity, federally insured by NCUA.
There are still companies that care. Companies that have your back. Companies that provide stability for you and your family. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is one of those companies. You can start at $17.27 an hour with great benefits you'd expect from a company that treats you like family. Sometimes it's the small things like holiday parties, summer picnics, and movie parties that speak volumes about your work family. Learn more about the PMX family at ipmx.com.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
When hiring, you don't have time to waste. You need to get to a short list of qualified candidates fast. That's why you need Indeed.com. Daryl has hired with Indeed.
Using the site saves me a lot of time. It makes my job so much easier.
Post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates using an intuitive dashboard. Your time is precious. Let Indeed help you get to your short list of qualified candidates. Post a job at Indeed.com/hire. Search for greatness. Search Indeed.
So this house is in a great neighborhood and walking distance from one of the best schools.
And what are they asking?
The asking price is only 24 years of really, really hard work.
Wow, that sounds like a lot.
Well, the house across the road just sold for a few years more.
While other insurance companies just see a house, we see the home you've worked really hard for, so why not give it the protection it deserves?
Tell you what, why don't we offer 23 years with a fast close? We're gonna need to sleep on it.
Yeah.
State Farm. Call an agent today.
The Home Depot has free carpet installation for any carpet purchase over $699. Free installation, as in no hidden fees for moving furniture, ripping out old carpet, carpeting stairs. Fees other places charge for their free carpet installation, we don't. For carpet installation that really is free, start with carpet from The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid on carpet priced $1 or more per square foot. Specialty items may be priced separately. License numbers available at homedepot.com/license numbers.
437, welcome back in. Great show for you today till 645, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids. It's the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. High school basketball on the horizon for you tonight. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com will be with us inside the 6 o'clock hour. Iowa State, by the way, we talked yesterday on the program, down to just 6 players tomorrow for its game in Morgantown against West Virginia. The early line in Las Vegas is not pretty. The Cyclones, a 16-point underdog tomorrow against Bob Huggins and the Mountaineers. Lots more to get to, including your texts on the Hertine and Stocker text line. I'm trying to respond to as many of them as I can during the breaks, and we will get to some of those after we get done chatting with our next guest, Kyle Boone of CBS Sports, joining us now to talk a little college basketball. And Kyle, the rest of the college basketball universe is doing the same thing we are today, looking over this Yahoo Sports report and starting to look at names, and there's a spreadsheet. And what do you make of the latest development?
Yeah, an explosive story that I woke up to this morning, Yahoo Sports reporting that among the many documents that the FBI has in its possession, Andy Miller's expense reports, et cetera, there's lots of players that have been named by name in this report. Dennis Smith Jr. from NC State allegedly accepted, $73,500 in loans. There's other players that are named and schools that are implicated in this matter, including Duke and Kentucky, Michigan State, and several other big-time schools. So it has college basketball kind of on its head right now. I've read more press releases today than I have probably in the past month, just schools trying to distance themselves from this, really just this mess. And so, yeah, the college basketball world waits to see if there's any other fallout from this today and into the weekend.
Now, I know speculation is running rampant at this point, but from this document and this document itself, reading what we saw today, this is more about the here and now as to whether Miles Bridges will be eligible for the NCAA tournament than it is the coaches, right? Because Tom Izzo, he was mentioned, but he really wasn't implicated as doing anything wrong in this document itself, correct?
Yes. Yeah, that I would say that's correct. And typically, you know, if a coach was implicated in any type of scandal like this, they would obviously have documentation. And to this point, there's nothing that shows that any of the coaches did any wrongdoing. And I'm sure that they'll continue to say that they knew nothing of the scandal.
We've seen the NCAA down the road take wins away from programs for playing players that shouldn't have been eligible. So if you were a coach in this situation, would you consider maybe not playing somebody in the tournament? I mean, it's a difficult road because, like you said, we don't know where this is going to end up.
I would definitely consider it. I think right now, you know, so far we've only seen one player that's been suspended, which is San Diego State's Malik Pope, who was accused of accepting a $1,400 loan from Andy Miller, the agent in this case. I expect that will be more of the same moving forward. Today, Duke came out and said that Wendell Carter, who was accused of accepting a very minimal amount of money, and specifically probably a family member who accepted a meal, he will play tomorrow, or they're expecting him to play. Kentucky is expecting Kevin Knox to play. But if I was a coach, I think what you typically want to do is immediately rule your player ineligible, shut them down, report it to the NCAA, and then apply for reinstatement through the NCAA. Now, you're getting to a point in the season where March Madness is coming up, and the NCAA is not known for typically expediting processes and investigations, and with everything it has on its hands now, I would certainly expect that wouldn't be the case. So it's kind of a risky proposition, but I think if you want to follow the letter of the law, the smart choice in this case is probably to rule your players ineligible, which obviously would have a major impact in college sports. And even talking about Miles Bridges, the best player on a top five team in Michigan State, that would be a huge impact in college basketball.
Now, this story somewhat hit here in the state of Iowa. Monte Morris, former Iowa State Cyclone point guard, was said to have accepted a dinner with Christian Dawkins, or got his dinner paid for by Christian Dawkins, and a lot of Iowa State fans are wondering what's next. Monte Morris is gone from the program. The NCAA probably doesn't go back and retroactively put any punishment on Iowa State for that, do they?
No, I would not expect that to be the case. Now, if the report indicated that Monte Morris had been accepting, you know, thousands or maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars, I could see that potentially changing. But in this particular case, with the amount of money that's involved and the fact that, you know, the head coach at Iowa State, Steve Prohm, was not involved in this, I think Iowa State's probably in the clear here.
Kyle Boone of CBS Sports joining us for just a few more minutes on the program. Our poll question today at our website has to do with whether or not you think this is the last straw before we start seeing players get compensated. It feels like we have this conversation at least once or twice a year, but there really seems to be some movement here, especially Ed O'Bannon's got a new book out about his battle with the NCAA. We had him on the show earlier this week. Is this another log on that fire, Kyle?
I certainly think so, and there's a lot of, obviously there's going to be columns written. There are already columns that have been written about potentially moving towards or away from the amateurism model that is in place with the NCAA now. I think you open NCAA up to allowing players to get compensated for what they're worth on the open market. I think is obviously a good thing that would probably eliminate some of this black market underbelly that's in college basketball that is slowly trickling out right now. But to be honest, I just don't see it. I think there's too many hurdles to jump. I think there's too many hands in the pot right now, too many people making money from the current model. I'd be surprised if there's any major change in college basketball because of this.
Mark Emmert, the president of the NCAA, came out and said, called this a systemic failure. What do you make of his response to this, especially after the kid gloves that he used with Baylor and the North Carolina situation these past couple of years?
I think it's totally tone deaf. I think Mark Emmert has consistently come off as tone deaf in his remarks in regards to this investigation. And, you know, the NCAA has acknowledged, at least in some capacity, that it is known of some sort of, you know, deep underbelly in the sport. But it has done nothing to do that, to improve that situation. And obviously they don't have subpoena power. They can't do what the FBI is doing now. But it's just tone deaf. They've done nothing to fix it. They probably won't do anything to fix it, is my guess. And right now they're just reaping in the rewards and all the money by not paying the players. So I think that's the heart and the root of the argument right now, and I don't think we'll see that change anytime soon.
Kyle, as we part ways tonight, give us a dark horse candidate for the NCAA tournament. Who do you like?
Oh, you know what? I'll stay with the local team here. I'm actually going to go with Oklahoma. You know, Oklahoma is on a terrible losing streak. They look awful. Everyone is writing them off. You know, they were picked as one of the top 16 seeds when they did the bracket preview just a few weeks ago. Since that time, they've lost seven straight. They are sliding towards the bubble. I think they're going to get in, and they've got one of the best players in the country in Trae Young, and I think guard play is huge in March. So I'll go with Oklahoma. I think they could be a sleeper pick to maybe go to the Final Four. And if they can pick up their guard play and start playing like they were in December and then November, I think they're going to be dangerous. So I'll go with Oklahoma.
Kyle Boone, CBS Sports, we appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me on, guys.
This is the tip of the iceberg, as we've talked about, but there's a spreadsheet and there are names, and it's not so much programs at this point as players who are tied to programs. And then, you know, what happens? If you're Tom Izzo, who's already pretty nervous about the Larry Nassar case and the implications on his job at Michigan State from that, if you're Tom Izzo, are you nervous with your best player out there on the floor at this point, wondering, am I giving the NCAA grounds to take victories away, not necessarily tomorrow, but a year or 3 years down the road, because we've seen this happen. There's no crystal ball. You don't know what, if anything, is going to come of this, which is a major part of the problem with this entire story, in my opinion.
I will say this, as someone who's been around the agent or seen how the agents interact with college players these past few months, if there is a clean program, if you're running a clean program, then agents are a completely individual thing, meaning the agents come to the players, and a lot of times the coaches do not know about it. I guarantee you that Fred Hoiberg did not know, or Steve Prohm at the time did not know, that Monte Morris was having dinner with an agent. And here's another common misconception that I see all the time. You are allowed to meet with agents when you are in college. You just cannot take anything from them. You cannot sign with them. And if you go to dinner with them, you have to, technically under NCAA rules, you have to pay for your own dinner. Now, I think that rule should be changed, but technically that is an NCAA violation. I looked at this today and saw the $10,000 going here, $40,000 going there. That's the story, not the fact that Malcolm Brogdon and Monte Morris had dinner with an agent.
Mantality, lowtusa.com. That's the website to check out, where you can learn more about the new men's health clinic in Eastern Iowa, located in North Liberty. What does Mantality do? They treat men for low testosterone. Now, you may hear that, you may roll your eyes, you may snicker, you may giggle, you know, who knows what your reaction to that is. But for many men, especially age 40 and older, low testosterone is a serious issue, because it starts affecting the quality of your life. Not necessarily just behind the bedroom door, but at work, coming home from work, less energy to deal with your family. Maybe you don't even have the desire to go hang out with your friends because you just want to go home and sit in the recliner and watch the Olympics. I don't know. Low testosterone is a problem that affects many men, but Mentality has a 90% success rate at getting men healthy and feeling better again. Insurance will most likely cover your visit. It's like going to the doctor's office. You are dealing with board-certified medical personnel here, by the way. You can check out their new clinic in North Liberty. Again, the website to do so and make an appointment is lowtusa.com. 449, we're going to step aside, and when we come back, perhaps an abbreviated Alex Kuhn Olympic update. I say perhaps because we've got a lot more to get to on the program, including giving away a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way after this.
Dutch Boy's new Platinum Plus paint with Stain Shield technology has the performance you expect from a luxury paint at a price you didn't. Platinum Plus is up to 50% more washable and stain resistant than a leading premium paint in satin sheen. Superiority ranges from 24 to 50% depending on sheen selected. Platinum Plus keeps your walls looking new longer. Menards and Dutch Boy paint have you covered. Go ahead, live your life.
Right now at Menards, get 11% off everything, including Dutch Boy paint.
Cedar Valley Entertainment presents Saturday, June 23rd, live at the U.S. Cellular Center in Cedar Rapids. T-Pain, Ja Rule, and Mike Jones. Tickets on sale now at the U.S. Cellular Center box office, Ticketmaster.com, or by calling 1-800-745-3000. T-Pain, Ja Rule, and Mike Jones at the U.S. Cellular Center, Saturday, June 23rd. Get your tickets now.
All right, I made the executive decision. I am giving you a few more minutes. We're going to talk with Mark Carlson, head coach of the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders, tonight at 5 o'clock. And then let's say 5:15. So you've got about 25 minutes to put the finishing touches on Alex Kuhn Olympic update number 10. Because I know you said after yesterday's jam-packed update,
it's
today,
a dud.
Today's, don't ever say it's a dud. Don't ever short sell.
Okay, well, I will make it exciting, but there's some bad news in there. No one likes to hear bad news, but let's just say the women's figure skaters were the dud.
Yeah, not very good. What did Mark Duke say earlier today? The figure skating on the Bachelor Winter Games last night or earlier this week was better than... I can't believe Leslie and Dean wound up together. Did I just reveal that I...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, was watching. Well, it's over. But I probably did spoil it for somebody out there. We are going to talk with Mark Carlson coming up in just a bit. Love It or Leave It on the way at 5:30 tonight with special guest Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com. Alex has a high school basketball game that he needs to get to, and that's why we're going to be stepping aside tonight at 6:45. It is the opening of spring training games in both Florida and Arizona. The Cubs are taking on Milwaukee today. The Twins fell to the Red Sox earlier. Some prospects that are not going to be in the big leagues this year, but are
Todd getting has him on his fantasy baseball
are
team.
Getting a little bit of a look from teams early on, and
your fantasy baseball league is very fascinating.
Well, from fantasy to reality, this is something that we've wanted to make a reality for a very long time. Here, I'll remind everybody once again: KGYM is taking a bus trip to Wrigley Field. I've got my Ryan Sandberg batting practice jersey on today, celebrating the beginning of spring training games. May 12th, you can put it on your calendar right now. We don't know what time the game is, but the Cubs are going to be taking on the White Sox at Wrigley Field. $150 a person. That includes round-trip transportation as well as your ticket to the game. And the tickets, the section that we're sitting in, 200 level, right behind the Cubs dugout, the ticket itself right now on the secondary market is going for more than the price of the bus trip. So you start thinking about not having to deal with driving in Chicago traffic, which I know bothers many Iowa folks, not having to stop and pay the tolls in DeKalb and all the way in on 88, things of that nature, finding parking once you get there, 25, 45, 50 bucks. All of a sudden, hey, starts looking really worth it. And then, yeah, you get to hang out with us. You can bring a cooler on the bus. if you're under 18 or you want to bring children under the age of 18, they just need to have adult supervision. So, again, as I like to say, we may be babysitting on this trip, but we're going to be babysitting you, not your children. 4:54, welcome to the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Hour number one wrapping up. Drive time driven by Linder Tire right around the corner. But first, we got to get you another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Rick Heller and the Hawkeye baseball team beat Virginia Tech in walk-off fashion today at the Sugar Bowl Baseball Classic. Ben Norman hit one to third in the top of the 10th. It was booted, and Case Massner scored from second to give Iowa its first 4-0 start to a season since 2006. Fran McCaffrey spoke with the media today in Iowa City, and when asked if he felt he's on the proverbial hot seat, he pointed to his body of work as a whole and said the subject shouldn't even be brought up. Just a reminder, McCaffrey also recently signed an extension with a massive buyout. You might have heard about a bombshell report from Yahoo naming names and schools involved in the FBI probe into corruption in college basketball, and among the names that appeared was former Iowa State point guard Monte Morris. His mother confirmed that he and his trainer had a breakfast with Christian Dawkins, who's a former employee of ASM Sports. That firm is in the middle of the investigation, and Dawkins, in fact, was arrested last year, but Morris's mother denies that anything impermissible came of that meeting. We're going to be off the air at 6:45 today for a couple juicy boys sub-state semifinal games. Kennedy is going to be at Prairie on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, and Cedar Rapids, Washington will be at top-ranked Iowa City West on the north and south gyms. Looking ahead to the weekend, the regular season is wrapping up for all the major universities, and you can hear UNI hosting Missouri State in its finale tomorrow at 12:30 on the north and south gym FM frequencies, and then at 4, you can hear Iowa State on the road at number 21 West Virginia on the main gym.
All right, coming up for you in hour number two, we're going to start it off by talking with Mark Carlson. Rough Riders are at home both tonight and tomorrow. If you're looking for something to do, it's Tri-City. Our friends from Doug and Daddy territory are at the stable tonight, 7:05 face-off. And then tomorrow, the Fargo Force. Coach Carlson just picked up his 600th career win, all of them coming with the Rough Riders last week at Madison. So we'll chat a little bit with him about his time in Cedar Rapids and the development or the increase in popularity with hockey here in Cedar Rapids because he got in on the ground floor. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com with us for the final hour plus of the program tonight. Again, high school basketball is on the way. Really quick, because it is baseball season underway at the college level as well. Want to remind everybody, actually, it's not really a reminder because I haven't mentioned it yet until tonight, but Mount Mercy is having its annual kickoff dinner for the season coming up next Sunday. Jack Dom, once again, friend of the program, glad to MC that event for him. And if you want more details on that, you can get it at Mount Mercy's website. But Jack sent over some photos of the silent auction items that they're going to have this year. There's a Joe Madden autographed jersey, a Carlos Correa autographed photo, a Chris Bryant autographed photo, framed autographed photo of celebrating making the final out of the 2016 World Series. And I'm just thinking of all of these things that I could spend my money on and whether or not it would be worth sleeping on the couch. But I'll give you more details about the Mount Mercy dinner coming up next Sunday as we get a little closer. 4:57, heading toward the top of the hour and heading toward drive time, driven by Linder Tire. We kick it off next with Cedar Rapids Rough Riders coach Mark Carlson, right here on the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on KGYM. Alex.